from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll continue with your Mets calls here. In case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. We've been talking Mets to start. They are red hot, closing in on a playoff spot yet again. What a turnaround for their season. BT, with the Yankees, it's the same old thing with this team. Nothing has changed for me anyway since we've been off, you know, really for the last several months. Like, the Yankees have been a 500 team since June 1st. If we talk about the Mets having one of the best records in baseball since then, the Yankees have been average. And everybody looks at their record and, oh, the Yankees could do this and that because look at what their record is. But if you watch them play, kicking the... And I know last night they were good, and obviously we got to get word on Cole here as he left the
That's
game.
That's crap. He's fine.
He'll be fine. And look, they look great, and Jazz running around, and you know, Stanton hitting home runs, everybody dominating there. Good for them, but it's the same old stuff. They can't bury bad teams anymore. They're way too inconsistent. They've been a 500 team for 3 months.
It's funny because I like to create the parallel. Like, what were we saying? What were we thinking before we packed up shop for a vacation and obviously reconvened today? And from the Mets' perspective, I've given you that. From the Yankees' perspective, they were 75-63 after our last show on August 23rd, 4-5 since. Yeah, and it's troubling and it's problematic who they lose to. The Nationals, the Cardinals, just a sloppy nature, you know, whether it's some shoddy base running or, you know, a bullpen malfunction or Cortez taking a step back or Rodon taking a step back or Soto getting a little quiet or with the stick or Soto suddenly on skates in right field or whatever. But while my opinion of the Mets has changed favorably, nothing's changed with my opinion on the Yankees. What I've always said is, or at least, you know, for a couple of months now, I think they can win the World Series. I think they can lose in the first round. Nothing's changed. And if anything, my belief in their ability to get to and maybe win the World Series has maybe been, oddly, despite poor play and consistent play, slightly strengthened by the return to form of Gerrit Cole, who's starting to look more and more like Gerrit Cole. But I get it. It's Sal, if you take away, and it's two big things to take away, but if you do, the Yankees, Soto and Judge, Yankees are nothing.
Yeah, but even with those guys playing at a ridiculous level.
But they haven't been playing, like Judge got a little chilly.
Yeah, for the last week.
I'm talking about the last week.
Think about since June. How is it that the Yankees, since June 1st, 3 months, if we're going to use that as a reference point for the Mets, let's do it for the Yankees as well. That's the majority of the season. It's the most recent majority of the season. It's the largest sample size and the most recent sample size. Judge has been an MVP out of this world, you know, on pace to break record, whatever, yet again. And Soto's having a terrific year. You know, another year would be MVP consideration if not for Judge and Witt going nuts. Okay, with that, those guys been healthy, playing every day, playing at an extremely high level. With Cole coming back, how come they can't The record is 500. Yeah. A game over, as a matter of fact, since then. How is that possible? It's because they're not that good. So all their, they built up a lot of equity in April and then certainly in May. Two good months. You can't forget it. But that's why they are where they are in the standings. That's why their record is what it is. But for 3 months, they've been a game over 500.
No, they've been languishing for a while. Now, I've told the story a few times how I went to the Astros-Yankees game a few years ago in the Bronx playoff game. And, yeah, I took my son. He was 7 years old at the time. First playoff game. Couldn't wait to go. I walked in, honestly, with zero expectation. And the lifeless environment was palpable. I'm like, wow. Because what I felt, everybody else there felt. This team doesn't have it. This team, and I say that because that team started hot and then really petered out, like this team to an extent. But my belief in this team's upside is much different than it was a couple of years ago. Now, again, Soto and Judge going to have to carry the mail, but with Chisholm and with Austin Wells,
yeah,
the Yankees can win. The problem is, too often, even Gleyber's been, you know, I'm not a big Gleyber Torres guy, but I've got at least, he's been playing better.
Yeah, but he'll cool off.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm not here to ring his bell. Like, I've given up on him years ago, so I'm not going to change my tune.
We've seen this story from these guys. Well,
Sal, first base isn't good. Rizzo's back. He had a bloop double last night, whatever. Okay, Rizzo's back. We'll see where that goes. I don't expect much. Gleyber's Gleyber. You know, Volpe brings some electricity, but he's too inconsistent. I love Chisholm at third, even though he's had a couple of botches lately, but he's definitely good.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see how Boone handles the Trevino Wells situation beyond the plate.
Wells got to be in the lineup.
No doubt. Yeah, and I believe he will be, at least as a stick. And I'd even play him against lefties all the time, whatever. And it's just, it really comes down to three, four, five guys. Number one, the two beasts in the middle of the order, or in the two and the three spot. What does Garrett Cole do? I would probably even say, what's the back end of the bullpen doing when it really matters?
Right,
and
do
what do you get
him?
From Heal?
Yeah.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. It depends what they
Heal's
like.
An interesting one because
it's huge.
Because outside of Cole, I mean, pick a guy on any day, and you have no idea what you're going to get.
Well, that's overstating it a little bit. I mean,
what you trust Rodon?
I trust Rodon to give the Yankees a chance to win.
The same way you say about the Yankees overall, they could win the World Series, they could be out in the first round. Like, that to me is Rodon. He could dominate for six innings and show electric, nasty stuff, or he could get lit up in the first inning and totally implode.
I don't think you're wrong with that.
Same thing maybe with Nestor Cortez.
Yeah, before we get to Nestor, though, I think the difference with Rodon, because this has been an interesting, you know, point, counterpoint with you and I with Rodon for a while, I've got a little more belief in his ability to be the guy who comes out and puts up zeros than the guy who comes out and puts up a four spot in the first. I don't know if I'll be right.
Right.
I'm not betting on that. And ultimately, we'll get the answer. But, you know, I think Rodon will give the Yankees a chance to win some games in October.
I would not want to rely on him. I don't trust him at all. I never bought into the success that he had early. Like, I gave him credit and acknowledged that he did turn around his Yankee career to a certain extent, but he's shown too much. I know he's not as bad as he was last year of role. He's shown too much bad for me to go all in and be able to trust him, and the Yankees are going to have to. You know, you mentioned the bullpen. Now, look, maybe Clark Schmidt comes back and helps out and solidifies or gives you some more stability in that starting rotation along with Luis Hill. Who knows there? And I do trust Stroman to a certain extent, but we're talking about the postseason. We're talking about trying to win a World Series. Then you go to the bullpen, major inconsistencies there. Who are you trusting out of the bullpen?
Well, the bottom line is, you know, we've been conditioned to expect the Yankees to win championships a certain way. Play fundamentally, you know, I'm talking about the old days, right?
Yeah.
Have a couple stars, and obviously protect leads, and when you're up late, it's over. Lights out. See ya. Next game, Yanks win. And that'd be that. It's not that way anymore. If the Yanks are going to win, they're going to have to win 7-6, couple of 5-4 games, 8-5. They're going to have to hit their way to the World Series. That's the way I see it.
I think the best thing you could say about the Yankees, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that, well, nobody else is that good either. And that should not be. Now, factually, they can win a World Series because they're going to be in the postseason and anything can happen. And they have as good a chance as anybody else because nobody else has been really that good. Although, if you do go from June 1st on, the Astros have been significantly better.
Yeah,
stop me if you've heard this story before. So
they got a good staff, too, the Astros.
That'd
good
be
pitcher.
A tremendous matchup. I'd love to see that actually play out.
Would you? Well, you would.
I don't know if I would. You don't think that'd be the best series that we could get?
I don't care about the best series.
You know, you want the easiest path because you don't trust the Yankees, and that's the point. Like, do you trust Boone, by the way, managing in the postseason? I don't.
I trust him enough to not blow it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's enough.
Like, there's still question marks. Do you trust Judge to perform at the high level in the postseason?
I have to. He's Aaron Judge. Yeah, he's the best player I've ever seen. Eventually, he's going to crack through.
Understood. Well, eventually. But until he does.
Well, I understand.
Like, there are question marks going in anyway. And then to watch them play for the last 3 months. Okay. Yeah, they're not head and shoulders above anybody. I don't care what the run differential says. I don't care what their record says. They're just a postseason team with a chance just like anybody else in there.
I agree. I agree with that, Sal. You know, do you think that Boone's more of an issue than me?
I don't think he's an issue.
In October.
No, I don't think he's an issue. I just think that I don't look at Boone as necessarily an asset in the postseason. He's got to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he can't be, but I have not seen it from Aaron Boone.
Yep.
They're going to get to a point where, okay, is the manager going to enhance their chances here? And maybe that's going to be this year. He either is going to enhance their chances or he's not. And if he doesn't, then that's a problem.
But don't you think, and enhance is an interesting word, don't you think the fact that Gerrit Cole missed the first couple of the months,
yeah,
and they ran out to the record that they did, that he did enhance that?
Yes, but in the postseason, it's a different animal. I think Aaron Boone in the regular season has done an incredible job with the team the majority of the time.
He has.
Injuries and dealing with the pressure that comes along with all the different things, working different guys in. I think Boone has been incredible in that regard. Managing a game.
Yep.
The X's and O's of a game.
I also think that there's, and I know football's a completely different beast, but like there's McCarthy now with the Cowboys. Help McCarthy with the Packers. There's certain coaches who at least I can look at and say, okay, you didn't get to where I thought you should have gotten, and you had the requisite roster to get there. The thing about Boone, it's going to play itself out. I haven't looked once, Sal, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I have not looked at a Yankee roster and said, Boone fell short of where I thought they should go.
Right. Okay.
I've never thought that.
Agreed. But I also want to see him take this team to another level in the postseason with certain moves. And I do think that this year, this team, the expectation should be World Series or bust. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. BT and Sal on the Fan. Hold on a second. Jeff is in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. What's up? How you guys doing?
Good, man. Ready to roll. What's happening?
Listen, is it me or is Cashman senile? I mean, this Verdugo guy, he's trash, man. I mean, this guy, he's like one of the worst. He's having like the worst season of his career. We have Dominguez killing it in AAA. What is he doing? We owe nothing to him. We owe nothing to Verdugo. He's going to be out of here next year anyway.
Yep.
Get this kid up.
He's going to be out soon. Dominguez is coming. Yeah, I hear you. I understand the aggravation. I don't think it's about the manipulation of service time. I don't myself. Others do. I don't. The Verdugo thing. Listen, I'm gonna take an L on this. I really liked the signing of Verdugo. I did. It reaped rewards early because he was playing well. You saw a completely different energy, like with Stroman, and just a youthful, like this bounce that the Yankees I thought sorely needed. But he's not hitting. His OPS is under 700, and he's a complete zero at the plate. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought he was going to be better than this.
I don't think the Yankees needed to call Dominguez up right now. What does everybody think about what we're talking about here? Verdugo, while I understand he has been awful, he also was instrumental into their early season success when he was hitting cleanup. He also, in the little bit of a revitalization that they had out of the All-Star break, was batting leadoff. So Verdugo has been an integral part of this team for good or bad this year. And he's also a proven Major League Baseball player.
Good defender.
Yeah. Whether he's going to succeed the rest of the way or not, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's at least earned the right to get the final look here for these final 25 games or whatever.
Well, hold on. I'm going to push back. He's earned the right. I mean, at what point is the point of expiration? Earned the right?
Well,
it's September. You're hitting what is he hitting, 230?
Okay.
I mean, Jason Dominguez could be a superstar.
Could be. He's played 9 games.
I understand that, but Verdugo's played 130.
Understood. Jason Dominguez has played 9 games, and Yankee fans are clamoring for him to come up. That just shows how desperate they are. Now, we don't know. Maybe Dominguez is, in fact, the next Mickey Mantle. He's played 9 big league games.
What do you think's more talented? Now, I know that
a better Major League Baseball player?
Well, you're going to say Verdugo now. Yeah. Okay, but who do you think brings more?
Dominguez hasn't even played the minors.
Hold on. I know.
He's been hurt all year. I'm just saying, like, he MVP.
It doesn't always translate. Understood. But who do you think brings more ways to beat you in a game?
Right.
Dominguez or Verdugo?
I mean, I think it better.
I think it's Dominguez.
I think it better be Dominguez. Also, by the way, I'm not saying that don't ever call Dominguez up. What I'm saying is the talk and outrage about it now is preposterous.
It's September.
But it's timely. Who do you think is going to be starting in game one of the postseason for the Yankees?
If it's a lefty?
Verdugo or Dominguez?
I don't know that it's definitely going to be Verdugo yet, man. I'm telling you.
No, it's going to be Dominguez. 100%.
Oh, you think it's going to be Dominguez? 100%. Okay.
I'm saying yes, the Yankees aren't stupid. We like to say that they are sometimes, but they're not. They're just making sure and riding this out with Verdugo, squeezing every last possible ounce out of it. Also, getting Dominguez a little more seasoning in the minors, being that he hasn't played a full year because he's been hurt yet again, and also that he's got 9 games of big league experience to his name.
Yep.
Like, just relax. He will be here. The Yankees will fire that salvo when they feel they need to. Could be the final 2 weeks of the season. Could be next week. Could be tomorrow. I don't know.
But I wouldn't wait, Sal.
I wouldn't wait. But what's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is you're not playing well.
Yeah.
And you're half a game up on the Orioles, and you want to win the division. That's the big deal.
Yeah. Oh, well, do they?
Well, if Dominguez comes here, don't you think it enhances that?
I don't know. He's played 9 games. Now he's going to be the savior?
I understand that. I think you got to get him up here soon. Now, I understand the Yankees' dilemma, and you hit on this as well. You bring him up, and he doesn't play every night.
He's going to play every night.
Well,
they already said it. When he comes up, and we talked about this weeks ago, when he comes up, he's playing. That means it's the end of Verdugo. Now, most people don't care about that.
Okay, what if Verdugo goes 9 for his next 23, and all of a sudden he's got 5 doubles, and he's not incapable of doing that?
And then, what do you do? They're going to be patient and not bring him up right away.
But I think that's wrong. I want him on the roster, and I want him...
You'd rather not have him play every day, though?
I'm finding spots. I'm going to find a spot for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Matt is on Long Island. What's up, Matt?
What's up, fellas? I listen to you guys every day, pretty much, and it's always funny. You guys talk about the Yankees, that they were good, now they're not playing well. I've been medical device sales for 20 years. My life is quarter by quarter. The baseball season is the same thing. Yankees weren't good, now they go the reverse. They were good, now they're not that good. They're still in first place. You got to be closing when it matters. And this team, they're going to do it, BT. I promise you.
Well, based on what, though? Matt, based on what exactly? Can you give us some facts other than your opinion? I'd like to know why. Because it's not quarter. They've been a 500 team, and this is not my opinion. This is the facts. You can check it out. They've been a 500 team, or a game over to be exact, with their win last night since June 1st. That's 3 months of the season.
Playoff intensity. Let me tell you something. I was number 2 in the country in January, had a terrible April, May, and June in my career. Made it all the way back to number 2 again, and now I'm looking to close this year strong. That's exactly what Soto, Judge, Cole are going to do. And Volpe, wait till you see what Volpe does in the playoffs.
Based on what?
Obviously, he's reaching into the well of hope, which I think a lot of us do, but he's also reaching into the well of tangible performance. And the guys that he referenced, Volpe, lesser extent, but Soto and Judge, listen.
But those guys have been good all year long.
I think, Soto's cooled off a little bit the last couple weeks.
Right, okay, but point is, for three months.
He's below 290 now, I think.
How was he in June and July?
Phenomenal.
In the beginning? But that's my point. So the Yankees have still been a 500 team overall.
Understood. I think it's very easy to overreact to the cyclical performance of Judge and Soto. Because when Judge and Soto, crush it, the Yankees look almost unbeatable. Almost. They're so formidable as a duo that as long as the other pieces are average, the Yankees are going to obliterate most teams. And they have. But when they go down that little downward track, which baseball is going to give you, they look almost broken.
Right, but that's
certain
what,
nights.
I'm sorry, BT, but that's where we disagree.
Uh-huh.
Because those guys, when they were at their best this year, the Yankees still were a 500 team. When Judge and Soto were playing at their best, remember, the Judge did nothing in the month of April, and the Yankees had one of their best months of the year.
Yeah.
Now, in May, he started to get it going, and the Yankees had their best month of the year in May.
Yep.
But since June 1st, Judge has been on another planet. Soto, the majority of time, have been on another planet, and the team has been a 500 team. Now, you want to say, as of late, like Judge for the last week, oh, my God, you watch the game, Judge hasn't hit a homer. What's wrong with Aaron Judge? He hasn't homered yet, or Soto cooling off a little bit. That, to me, is not the correlation with them struggling. They have been a 500 team.
I agree with that. I guess what I'm saying is, if you cherry pick, and that's a large swath of games.
Right.
So this is not to misrepresent who the Yankees are and who they. Sal's right. I mean, they've been maddeningly inconsistent, very top heavy with performance, which can fool you to some level as to what they are and what they can be. What I'm saying is, either if you go to the cold periods,
right?
I would, and maybe I've got to do the research on this to back this up. It's a lot, but I would think that the games that they won, even during the down periods, Soto and Judge had big nights. That's what I mean.
Right.
Like when they play, and now it's almost unfair to those guys. It's not like Michael J. Mike, we need 35 out of you tonight.
Right.
Basketball's different. It's hard to say, Judge, we need 3 out of 4. We need 5 rippies, otherwise we got no shot. It's not supposed to work that way in baseball, but with this team.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It has.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We're talking Mets and Yankees. Can't wait to get into some football stuff. Feels good to be back, BT. I can't believe it. I played a lot of golf last week. I haven't played in years.
Uh-huh.
Played a little golf. We talked about it before. Did you get out there?
I told you I was going to try to play 3 or 4 times, and I did.
3 or 4?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got out there. What do you mean, oh, God?
I did
played
twice.
At least twice?
Yeah, twice, and I was like, oh, my God.
Did you have fun? Do you like playing? Because some people are okay at it, and they're like, yeah.
I like the camaraderie of it. It was a lot of fun to go hang out in the groups and get to talk to some people I haven't talked to in a while. It's like the first day they went, too hot.
Now, the first day you went with what? Recco and Beningo?
Yeah, my buddy Steve Hirsch, who's in PR, and then, yes, Recco and Beningo, which was, you know, playing with Jerry, I've done that before years ago.
Yeah.
And playing with Joe was fun.
First time with Joe?
Yeah, better than I thought.
Yeah, yep. He plays a lot. He should be a little bit better by now. He is.
Yeah, he never took lessons. A little unorthodox.
A little unconventional. Yeah, right. Does he still stand with his feet, like, you know, extra wide and like, really choked down on the club face, on the shaft?
He dances over the ball. He's got those high orange socks.
Oh, Joe.
But we had a great time. The problem with that day was too hot.
Was on Wednesday, right?
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, in the heat like that. Like, I haven't played in 18 holes a lot. Like, by the ninth hole, I was like, I'm ready to call it a day here.
But yeah, Wednesday was hot. That's what I went to Moore for, okay. Which is insane.
And you play no problem. And then you walk or you take the...
Walk.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, me neither. Jerry
no
likes
way.
Walking.
And does he?
Sometimes I walk and talk, but... And I also have never played with caddies before in my life. And
I hate playing with caddies.
Oh, man.
I feel pressure.
It's easy. I don't even have to look for the ball.
But I feel pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel pressure two ways. Number one, if I'm having a really rough day, which does happen.
Yeah.
I feel badly that I'm just really complicating their day. Like, I'll just say, don't even, if like, yeah, it's out, you can't see it, don't worry. You know, don't drive yourself nuts trying to find my ball. But the other thing, too, it's interesting. Like, I do take pride being a decent putter. I don't want to overstate it. I don't want you telling me where to go. I see the line. I see the speed.
Yeah,
I got it.
That can be an issue where you feel like, oh, no, you know what? I hit this club better, but they're saying, no, go with this club. And I'm like, what's the difference?
How do you know? You just met me. What do you know my strength there? You don't know anything about my game.
Point is, I mean, after playing with those two guys, and then the second day I played with Mike.
So that's why I wanted to build up. Well, you didn't tell me about how you almost killed Beningo on Wednesday.
Off the tee? Joe was playing from the gold tees in front of us.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. That's what he does. Yeah, he plays from the gold tees, so He was kind of out in front to the right, sitting in the cart watching me tee off, and I shanked one in his direction.
Okay, so honestly, that's Joe's fault.
He shouldn't be in front of me anyway.
No. Yeah. When I first saw Recco's picture on social media, I thought that Joe was like on the tee box, almost to the immediate right of you righty golfer.
He was out in front.
That's Joe's fault. How many yards? 50 yards?
Maybe less. Yeah, maybe 25, 40, 30, 30, whatever. Yeah, it was definitely, I went to right center with it, and I shouldn't have gone that way.
He should wait for you.
I went to right, I should say, not right center. But yeah, he was kind of up a little bit.
Did you actually hit the cart?
Yeah.
That's funny, man.
And see him sitting on the cart with his orange socks and trying to move out of the way. I was like, sorry. But then the next day, I played with Mike, and I was so scared. Like, hitting Beningo with the ball is one thing. I'm not hitting Mike. But Mike didn't care. He's like, he'd walk up on the green. I'm trying to get one out of the bunker. And I'm like, I'm not going in case I skull one.
Yeah. I always give my guys a heads up, too. Hey, guys, be careful in case I come out of here hot.
Mike, I'm telling you, and I don't know if it was just the weather. It was just a beautiful, perfect day. Like, the other day, the hot day, I was done by 9. This, I could have played at least another 9, I felt like.
Mm-hmm. By the time you got home, you probably should have, because you were in the car for 3.5 hours getting back to Jersey.
It was a lot to go from Long Island to go there during, we went Thursday during the day, but seeing Mike was great. And by the way, he's good.
How's the swing? How's Mike's swing? Is it really?
He maybe shanked 2 balls the entire day.
Do you know what he shot? Low 90s?
I don't know. He might have been keeping score. After the first hole, he's like, all right, so would you get an 8? I'm like, Mike, I'm not keeping score.
Would you get an 8?
Yeah, he might have said 7.
Already flexing on you. Sal, is that an 8 or a 9?
I'm not keeping score, Mike. And by the way, the lunch was incredible. I was like, Mike, this place, they do takeout here or what?
You have a couple drinks or no?
No, I had to drive all that way.
Oh, that's right.
Even during the game. No, we were just talking sports, and it was great.
That's awesome.
He's high on the Jets, too.
Oh, he is?
I said I can't get in bed with that coach, but he's all in on the Jets. But no, we're playing. It was great. It was nice. Nice day, and he's good.
Yeah. Does he seem of good spirit? Like, he doesn't miss the state? I know he's doing stuff, keeping himself busy with the pod, but...
No, he's
it was happy,
go.
Mike?
Happy. Very
not grumpy,
happy,
Mike.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know,
there's nothing to be grumpy about out there, man. That golf course and that weather was a picture-perfect day.
That's awesome.
It was beautiful.
So, hold on, real quick, though. A little convoluted, because you text me, right? And you said you and I were supposed to play Tuesday.
Correct.
As a warm-up for Recco.
Correct, okay. For Wednesday.
Which then the invitation came for Mike, which I understood.
Right.
You and I can play whenever.
Right.
So I said, listen.
I had to go.
Understood.
With that. Yeah.
I totally got it.
Then
so
I was like, 3 straight days. I don't know if I could do that.
You can't justify that. So you said, I'm going to bail with me. And I'm like, that's fine. I played anyway. I got out there for a little bit. And you played Wednesday with Jerry and then Thursday with Mike. So you text me and said, hey, please tell me that you're free on Thursday.
Correct.
Because Mike invited us to play golf.
Correct.
Okay, so I could have been there. I couldn't.
Had Colts game.
His first football game.
First tackle,
playing quarterback. I couldn't miss it. Right. So anyway.
Sucks, but yeah.
I sent you some of the videos, too. It was fun to watch, man. So I text Mike a real nice, hey, I appreciate the offer. Nothing. Crickets. So did he really invite me?
He did.
Jesus.
And I, when I went there and showed up, I was like, BT was sorry he couldn't make it. He said, or I forget the exact conversation, but he acknowledged that you sent him a message.
Good.
So
okay.
he got the message.
He just didn't feel the need to respond to the peasant.
He said, no, I don't know about it. Maybe
he didn't read to respond.
No, he invited us. He said, at first, I guess he heard us talking about it, said, bring you and Jerry, come play golf. And I was like, all right, done. Then he said, you could pick the fourth. Bring BT.
Nice. I appreciate that, Mike. I would have loved to have been there. It would have been a blast.
We ended up taking JJ, who was fun to play with.
Oh, JJ's a trip,
too. He's a big-time
golfer. I heard he's got an interesting swing.
Yeah, he does. And he
like
got
a grip, right?
He just got back from Vegas. He got off a flight at 7 a.m. from Vegas and came and played.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's an animal.
But he doesn't have kids yet, JJ, so he can still swing it.
He can do that.
Yeah.
I think I'm retired from golf for a little while.
Are you?
Yeah. It was fun, but...
Yeah.
And plus, I get used to, like, if Mike invites me out there, sure.
Now, who pays for the caddy? Who tipped the caddy? You reach into your pocket?
Oh, I did. Yeah, it's funny you say that because I went to Mike and said, hey, Mike, I'm not familiar with the caddies here, but...
You had to give him at least 100.
And Mike's like, dude, don't worry, my club, my caddy. I was like, no, don't worry, I got a 10 on me. What do you...
You didn't say I got a 10. I know you didn't say that.
I did say that.
There's no way.
I was obviously joking.
You give him 100?
I didn't give him anything. Mike took care of it.
Okay, then.
He took care of Willie. Yeah. Willie's a great caddy.
Willie sounds like a caddy. Like an old-timer.
He was terrific.
Nice.
Mike took care of everything. It was a... perfect day. Put it this way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't drive home to Long Island in three-hour traffic to see my mother. Yeah. But if Francesa invites you to play golf.
But to kiss my ass, I'll drive anywhere.
I did it, and it was worth every second of that traffic. All right, BT, it's Al on the fan. You and I, though, do have to get out on the golf
course. Yep. Hey, listen, we still do a round in the fall. It's all good.
It's perfect weather, too. 888-808-1019. Danny's in Chesapeake Bay. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Long-time listener. Born and raised in New Jersey. I've been a traveling carpenter about 15 years, so I watch a lot of the baseball on the road through my MLB app. But my point was, at the beginning of the year, or before the year, everybody was like, yeah, the Mets aren't doing anything. The Mets aren't going anywhere. You know, and it's a rebuilding season. It's a retooling season. I get the MLB package. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pay for the whole thing because I'm a Met fan, and I want to see how they're going to do. So I paid month by month. You know, I probably watch 130 baseball games a year. And at this point, yeah, I'm excited that they're playing really well and they're in it. But I had no expectations in for the season. So, I mean, if they don't ultimately reach the goal, my disappointment isn't going to be as high as...
Nah, but Danny, hold on a second. Dan, hold on. Danny, hold on. You've got to recalibrate what you expect. I'm not saying you're booking a parade route yet, but, you know, what you thought what you thought in February when they went to Port St. Lucie, it's got to be a little different than what you expect now.
Oh, I've seen them play their best baseball since 2 years ago. I mean, you know, and Francisco Lindor, in my opinion, if it wasn't for Ohtani, is definitely the DH. I mean, it's definitely the MVP.
I agree with that.
Like, I don't put expectations because I'm a Mets fan. And as soon as I expect the Mets to do something, they fail. So going with hope. I'm going with hope instead of expectations right now.
right. But Danny, also just go based off of what they've done. And thank you for the call. Like, yeah, I get it. That's cute. And as a fan, we do that hope and the expectations. Let's just deal with reality for a second, if we may. The reality is the Mets have been one of the best teams in the sport since June 1st. Is that not a large enough sample size? Now, you can counter and say, well, what does that mean? Ultimately, it doesn't mean anything as far as will they make the playoffs? Who knows? We don't know. Right now, they're on the outside looking in. If they get in, can they win the World Series? We don't know. But factually speaking, for the last 3 months, which is the largest, most recent sample size that we can use, they have been one of the best teams in the sport. I think we said it before, third best record
overall. Houston,
Houston
Padres,
and the Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks.
Padres might have been fourth.
Yep.
So that is saying that what they have done has been legitimate for an extended period. Also, by the way, they have closed the gap, whether it be on the Phillies or the Braves for the time being. Now, they got to finish it off. There's 24 games to go, and they got to finish it. But if they do finish it and get in, who's to say that they couldn't get hot at the right time? Now, by the way, they are playing their best baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they are getting hot at the right time. You hope it's not, you know, 24 games too early, but this is what they need to get in.
And if you missed last hour, Sal got a little too giddy and said the division's still in play. He was stealing himself.
Hey, look, if 7 games back with 17 to play is possible,
yes.
7.5 back with 24 to play plus 7 head-to-head.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Mets go... 4-2, you pick up 2 games against the Phillies. Oh, wait, what did I say, 7 games?
It's 7.
So they have to go
5-2.
So they go 5-2, and it shaves 3 off, right?
I hear you.
And now you're talking about 4.5 games.
Just can't stumble against teams. And they haven't really shown recently the inclination to do that. You know, the A's, they lost 2 out of 3, but since then.
Hey, crazier things have happened.
I know.
You know, to the Mets. Now, it'd be nice to see the Mets do it. Also, it just speaks to where, like, the Phillies have not been... good.
No. They look beatable. Listen, the bottom line is this. You guys are staring down some demons, which right now means nothing specific to this year's Mets team, but they kind of always start to work themselves, those emotions with certain teams, Mets, Jets, you know the deal.
Yeah.
It's unavoidable. So here you are, 24 to go. It's September. It's really one of the most unlikely sporting scripts that we've been handed in a while based on where the Mets were. Couple of weeks in, based on where Lindor was a month or so in, and here you are. But the fight ain't over.
Right.
It ain't over, and it could be either incredibly painful or it could be as galvanizing a run as you guys had. Maybe since 86. Who the hell knows?
And I know the Met fan is accustomed to feeling the pains, which is why I understand the hesitation to go all in. This team has earned it. Whether they live up to it or not the rest of the way, who the hell knows? We'll find out together. But, you know, some people doubted the 10-game road trip, and look how that turned out. BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls on the other side. We also have a little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. And we have Brian Baldinger coming up at 12:40 today to get us started for the football season. Baldy will be the weekly
He's
guest
awesome.
With us. Can't wait to talk to him at 1240. Also, I want to get to a note about the Giants, something they did over vacation that bothered me.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Now, time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Hoff, take it away every Tuesday, 11:40. Hoff's got a little bald face lie, bald face truth for us. What do you got today?
That's right, boys. Welcome back.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start this off because the Mets are on fire right now. They're hot. Carlos Mendoza is going to win the Manager of the Year award for the NL. Bald face lie, bald face truth, Sal Licata.
I'm going to say that's a bald face lie. And also, and I'm not knocking the question, Hoff, because I think it is a good question, a relevant topic. But why do people give a crap about this? Like, Mets fans, Manager of the Year, big deal. Who cares? Even the MVP stuff, I think it'd be cool because the Mets have never had an MVP before, and because I think Lindor deserves it over Ohtani. But the Manager of the Year, I don't care either way. I know this. Mendoza's been great. I would say, though, it's a bald-faced lie. He does not get it. What's the dude in Milwaukee, Pat?
Murphy. Murphy.
I think he's going to get it.
I think Pat Murphy's probably. I don't know the latest odds. I saw a while. I don't care either, by the way. I mean, Manager of the Year, whatever. I mean, no shade if he wins it, but I do not think he will win it. Bald-faced lie. Probably going to be the guy from Milwaukee, Murphy. You know, San Diego's got an anchor in their dugout as well. I don't even think it matters. What matters to me, Hoff, is, you know, can you sit here at least 130-ish games into Mendoza's reign and say, does it look like the Mets hired the right guy? And the answer is yes.
Right.
And that's a lot more important. Does he finish first, second, whatever? That's insignificant.
Yeah, and I know people getting caught up, and that's why I respect the question, Hoff, but you're right, BT. They're missing the point. The point is Mendoza has been great. Whether the writers vote for a manager, who cares? Mendoza's been one of the best managers in the game.
Yeah, well, but also on the other hand, how often do the Mets win any award? It would be nice to win something.
Well, did Buck win in 2022?
He did.
Okay, he did.
Buck won it.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. He just won that again. What does that mean? He got fired a year later.
Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth for BT. Hassan Reddick will not arrive before Monday night's game.
I'm starting to think that's bald-faced truth, unfortunately. Now, I remember when this first came up.
You know, cave now.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not caving. I still think that the Jets have the leverage, and I do think it gets resolved eventually, but I'm just responding to the, you know, specific timeline of the question. Trent Williams got his deal done. He's going to play left tackle for the Niners. You know, it looks like he's the last holdout here. So the Jets they're not bending, and they shouldn't. Eventually, the Reddick's going to have to. But he's dug in so deep, I think it just extends into September, which stinks.
Yeah, you know, I felt like it is a bald face truth. He will not be there. I felt like this all the way along. If you hold out and you dig in to the extent that Reddick did and you're costing yourself that much money, I just can't compute how you would think that it would make sense at this point to go acquiesce and you know, end the holdout and go play. You're going to lose money. So there has to be some kind of resolution where Reddick is not going to get hit that hard. And then maybe, you know, meaning like
they rescind some of the fines from the team perspective.
Exactly,
I don't know
right.
if they're able to. I'd have to double check the
we'll
small print in the CBA there.
And maybe call it a wash somehow and then have him go out there. He's the last holdout here. I know you don't want to hear it, but...
Oh, I'm a tip of the cap? Is that what you're going to say?
I was going to say typical Jets. SOJ, same old Jets.
Here's the thing, though. Number one, they need him. You know, Jermaine Johnson's ready for a big push, I think. But the Jets lost a couple of defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Huff is gone. I do not think he plays Monday in San Francisco. And by the way, that line has shrunk. It opened at 6 down to 3.5.
What?
A lot of money coming in on those Jets. Yeah,
God.
Well, think about this. McCaffrey's been a little bit nicked up. I think most of us think that we'll do this more in the week, but I think most of us think that the Jets defense can handle Purdy to an extent.
Yeah.
Trent Williams just signed. I mean, so, yeah, it's not like everything's flowing with the Niners either.
Legit. Almost, and I can't wait to get into this later in the week. Oh. And we get the perfect parlay coming up Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if I'm prepared for the perfect parlay. What'll be on the line this year? But everybody that I have talked to, everybody that I've read or listened to, whether you're a Jet fan or not, all the same, everybody loves the Jets in the over this year.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
What can go wrong?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Hoff. Move on.
Last one. Sal, start this off. Aaron Judge will break his home run record this season. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth.
I'm going to say that's a bald-faced lie. What is the current pace? I know it's dipped off a little bit.
It's dipped off a little bit.
Is he still on pace for 60?
Yes, I mean, but Judge, he was on pace for 63 at one point.
I know. Right, but as long the reason why I'm asking on pace for 60.
24 games left.
Okay.
And he's at 51 still.
No, he's not getting 62. He's not getting 62.
It's a tall ask
now
at this point, right?
He can.
He's on pace for 60 on the button, by the way.
Okay, so what I was going to say is if he's on pace for 60, at least he's in the ball. Because what he could do is he'll hit, you know, three the next two nights.
I know.
And all of a sudden be right back there and go on a heater. I mean, think about what we're saying here. He's got 24 games left. He's going to hit, what does he have, 51, you said?
He's got 51.
So he's going to hit 12 homers?
He'd have to hit 12 to in break 24, it? Yeah.
I mean.
50% of the time, unless you hit multiple in one game, which he could.
Which he's going to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say, I hate to write it off right now. I'm going to say it's a bald-faced lie. He's not going to hit 60 or break the record, whatever you said there.
Now, my confidence is jilted a bit here because he's gotten a little chilly. I'm going to say bald-faced truth.
I like it.
I just think this goes down as one of those old, even if he doesn't, by the way, it's an all-time season. He's going to have over 150 RBIs, no steroids. I mean, this is a totally different monster, but I think he's going to lock back in. You know, he's a little chilly lately, had a little rough time with that slider last night. I think he barely gets there. When he heats up, I mean, he just hits him in bushes or in droves. So I think he's going to get there.
Yeah, it's like, would I be shocked if tonight he hit two or three?
No,
not at all. With Judge, he's just unreal.
To add on to that, the reason why he will do it is there's no pressure this time around. They're in the playoffs. He's already broken the record once. There's absolutely no pressure on him breaking it. So it's just about whether or not he stays healthy to do it.
Well, the most amazing stat, he's on pace for 160 games played.
Yeah.
160?
That's unbelievable.
Nice.
And that would have been, nobody would have touched that. I mean, even 150 would have been like, wow.
Can I say one thing that's going to probably not be good for his pursuit of the record? I might sit him next game. I might sit him. Did you see the play in center field last night? The run that Gerrit Cole gave up on the double that was to his right in left center. And there's no, I think it was Semien who scored from first. There's no way Semien should have scored. And Judge kind of double clutched. He went after it very un-Aaron Judge-like. You know, I wonder if he's wearing down a little bit. If you guys saw the play, if you're listening,
well,
you would know he looked tired on that play.
Yeah,
first time I've actually thought that all year.
And that will be a narrative if the Yankees or Judge doesn't perform up to his capabilities in the postseason. Well, maybe he's too tired from playing all the time. All right, Hoff, good job. We'll have Boldface Live, Boldface Truth every Tuesday at 11:40. We'll come back, reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. We've been talking baseball, started the show with the Mets. We'll do just that and get your calls in as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In fact, thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.